You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The Real Short Box. Right here in front of me is...
The good Dr. Kevin.
To my left...
Laird Donald.
Ah, gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome. Make sure that you get your cigars early, folks. We're cutting Cubans here. We're sipping on... What are you sipping on exactly right now, Donald?
Is that blue milk?
It is Bullet Rye whiskey and a Coke Life.
I thought you wanted to have some Romulan ale.
They don't make that here.
Oh.
That's fictional.
Oh, I thought it was real.
Guys, no. It's all blue milk to me.
I see.
So anyway...
Mutter's milk, perhaps?
We are going to do something here that I think is long overdue at The Real Short Box.
Porn!
Whoa. Come on now. We're PG-13 outfit.
Oh, no.
PG-13
I'm rated R, baby.
Dude, NC-17,
maybe.
Porn audio only went out.
There it is.
That's disturbing.
Yep, I'm going to put it away now.
All right. Now that we've covered our minimum genitalia requirement for the podcast, we're going to sit here and do something that's long overdue on The Real Short Box. We're going to have like a coffee and conversation, or in this case, alcohol and conversation, about Star Wars. And this, warning, is a three-part series. Not pre-recorded, audience. You know, I actually, many years ago, thanks to Hans, who is a friend of a couple of us here at The Real Short Box, I got to see John Williams in concert.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Now, that's an honor.
He just played not too long ago at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yes, he did.
Absolutely. Anthony Daniels was actually introducing, as he often does.
He's a good introducer.
An introducer?
He's a good introducer.
You mean like a master of ceremonies? What's an introducer?
Yeah, I don't even...
Is that in Webster's dictionary?
Sure.
I'm sure.
I thought you memorized that. You memorized the phone book.
That's true.
He did.
That's true.
All right. So here we go, guys. First of all, I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Fine. Go ahead. Shoot.
Donald, you're first. I want to ask, how were you introduced to Star Wars?
My mother was like, hey, you might like this film.
She said it that way?
Dude, I don't know. I was like five or some shit. But she was like, you might like this movie. Probably said movie. Jesus. Kevin, God damn it. Can't say anything. She said, you might like this movie if you like science fiction stuff, like space stuff. And I was like, cool, what is it? She's like, Star Wars. And I was like, whoa, Star Wars, let's watch that. And we watched it. And my most memorable moment was that trash scene where everybody got thrown away accidentally and that monster was in there with them and the walls started closing in and shit. That was intense. Loved it. So that hooked me from the start.
Kevin, how were you introduced to Star Wars?
I got to think about this for a second. I think of my earliest memory, I was at a friend's house and downstairs in the den, they had Empire Strikes Back was on. So I saw like those tall, you know, AT walkers, and I was like, wow, I was very fascinated.
AT-ATs?
Yeah, the AT-ATs, you know, I was very fascinated by that. You know, it was in the snow, you know, people are running for their lives and being attacked. Like, wow, that's interesting. That looks cool. And then later on, you know, the battle between Luke and Darth Vader, the blue and red lightsabers. Like, oh, it's so cool. Look at that, a blue and red laser sword. Wow, you know. And then that dark, menacing voice. I am your father, you know. When I hear that, I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God, this is pretty intense.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to have some very spirited debate, I'm sure, on a few topics here. But Donald, I'd like to come out and just say, I agree with you. I'm sick of people who call it the AT-AT. It is not the AT-AT. AT-AT. It is the AT-AT, okay? Mm-hmm. Stop this AT-AT nonsense. It is the AT-AT, friends.
I just want to bring up that it's your family that has one of the largest collections of Star Wars memorabilia figures, figuratively speaking, with figures from the original collection, right?
It's worth approximately $2 million.
And did you not get that inherited and you were going to put together the complete, like, some of the complete scenes and stuff, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, the best I can. I think the ice planet Hoth is the easiest one for me to do because there were a lot of accessories that were not vehicles. That were actually, you know, pieces of the fortress and so on and so forth. But yeah, no, absolutely. There's those things will be out here. I will not divulge when they will be out here as they are of extreme value. But what I will do is, like I promised, we will set up these scenes and I'd love for you to photograph them just to perhaps put them on our website for those of you that are big fan of the Kenner toy line.
Sounds like a dream come true for a lot of people.
Now, if you know, guys, you remember, this is kind of how I was introduced. Do you remember HBO in the 80s?
Oh, yeah. Especially the intro.
Dream on.
The HBO intro.
And that's the thing. This is how I was kind of introduced to it. So my father used to tape, you know, with the VHS tapes.
Classic VHS.
I wore these tapes out a little bit. Now, I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan. And let me clarify. What I mean by that is there are people that are far larger fans than I am of Star Wars. I absolutely enjoy it for sure.
Oh, no doubt.
But, you know, it was always one of those things. It never seemed...
But Star Wars, in the second movie, the character of Luke Skywalker, he was a changed man in a lot of ways. And it just became very, very intense to me.
You're triggering me. Okay, trust me. Those people are going to get their service on here, I promise you. You guys, stop listening right now if you're a dork and you're not ready to take some, because we're going to get to you in a minute.
We're going to give it to you.
But yeah, that's kind of how I got started. And of course, our toy figures, it was weird. We had, of course, a lot of action figures, being that I had three other brothers as well. And what had happened was that this was the only set of toys that, you know, our parents would supervise, meaning that they'd be in the next room and they'd make sure once we were done with them, they would pick them back up, wrap them up very specifically. And I said, this is really unusual because they didn't do that to the Transformers, the Voltron, or anything like that, specifically Star Wars. And now to this day, I'm very grateful because those...
You would have destroyed them.
Those toys are in pretty outstanding shape.
Look, Han Solo's in my butt. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Or okay. You play in the bathtub and it gets destroyed. So.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a quick statement I want to make, and I know, I don't even know how I want to address these people. I will just call them... the dork class, the people I can't stand.
The dork side?
Yes, the dork side. That's beautiful. Wow. Listen here, dork side. This is something I know you're going to have a hard time grasping, but this is very opinionated. It just happens to be pretty much true. George Lucas is awesome. Okay? This guy gets dogged all the time, and the criticism's fair. I'm not going to say it, but I think people criticize him so much, they forget what he not only has contributed to Star Wars, but the industry in general. Star Wars really changed the way that we saw a lot of science fiction movies. Just really outstanding stuff. And
raise the bar.
And I think that this is something we'll get into in later podcasts on this topic. There is something sacrosanct about this original episode 4, 5, and 6. And I mean,
it's the holy trilogy.
Yeah. So it's like, this is something that every time that you touch this and want to make content about this, be it a TV show, a movie, a novel, a comic book, to understand that there are a lot of people that hold this in a very high regard, and you need to do it with passion, and you need to do it with logic.
Are you tearing up, Darren?
I'm passionate. I'm not tearing up. I'm just passionate. The tears will come later with Rose Tico. But right now,
God.
I'm just getting passionate.
Don't get me started on
that. Okay, well, no, I am going to in a couple podcasts.
All right.
Here's the thing. So I got to ask you, of course, who is your favorite character, Kevin?
Of all the original trilogy?
Yes, 4, 5, and 6.
Well, I guess I can't deny this. I love the guy, Yoda. A wise teacher, a wise man.
Hmm.
A humble Jedi. A man who speaks... With the predicate first.
Thank you.
And the subject second. A distinguished... No, I was kidding.
Do you know that the German language does actually do that? It's the predicate first and the subject... So they say the noun first and the verb last.
Of course.
Okay. So that's your reasoning for Yoda?
Yeah, I mean, Yoda's just a fascinating character to me. I mean, he's just very humble. He's very wise. Very smart. Very funny.
But not smart enough to not live in the Dagobah system.
Mm-hmm. Well, look... As we find out later, there's a good reason why he was living there. So, therefore, he was very smart.
Okay. I guess he preserved his life just
he
in
sure
a
did.
Miserable place. Donald, who's your favorite character?
Geez, wow.
Max Rebo.
Went there.
Max Rebo.
Who?
Max Rebo.
Really?
Yeah, the little blue guy that plays the keyboard.
Yeah, he's a cool character.
It's like my favorite.
He's brief.
Very brief. If you want to talk about somebody that has like some legs, I would say probably Wicket.
You like Wicket?
Yeah. I'm in the minority in that the third
Jabba the Hutt.
The third of the trilogy is my favorite because I fucking love the Ewoks. I think the Ewoks are the shit. Like, I feel like the Ewoks are very underrated, and if you don't like them, you're a butthole.
Well, basically what they are, they're just the little baby mini Chewbaccas running around.
Right, yeah.
Well, no, and I'm kind of surprised. I expected some debate on this. I personally like the Ewoks a lot, too. I think that the dork side goes way over the top on the Ewoks. I think this is my theory on why they do. We originally started with these first three movies, and they wanted content for years. They wanted something that they were looking at, and when they went through, they're like, God, what about this series can we pick apart? And does it not make logical sense the first thing they're going to go after are the Ewoks?
Well, originally, it was supposed to be a plan of Wookiees.
Right.
Right.
But still, you know, the Ewoks are cool. And yes, there was some crass, you know, interest in selling more toys. So let's do the cute little Ewoks to get the kids all excited. But you know what? It worked. It'd be very strange if it was a bunch of Wookiees interacting with Leia and Han. And it just would have been even more strange. These giant, you know, Sasquatch creatures running all over the place.
Right. I think the Ewoks were just small enough and cute enough that they worked well.
And they looked like underdogs.
They could be stealth, yeah.
They look like underdogs. If you had a bunch of like 20,000 Wookiees running around, would you take it seriously? You'd think, oh, yeah, they should
beat
the Empire.
Scared as shit, yeah.
And out of that, yeah, they should beat the Empire, you know?
Right. Now, and I was just going to say real quick, my favorite character is still Luke Skywalker. Now, Luke Skywalker, can you say he's the most intriguing character? I'm warm to the argument that Han Solo is definitely the most intriguing, the coolest. I get it.
That's why he got the girl.
But there's just something about Luke Skywalker. I really
I'd say he's the coolest. Most intriguing, I would give to Leia.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. That's the Yoda prophecy of, well, there is another.
Yes, that's true.
Which creates more interest. And then the fact of what we see in the later stuff of her abilities and things coming out, which isn't my favorite, personally my favorite type of movie,
right,
so to speak, in the Star Wars canon. But it does speak to her prowess in what she can do.
I thought you would have said, you know, Obi-Wan was your most intriguing.
Nah, he's cool, but, you know, and I love Ewan McGregor, and I love the fact that they're doing a series based off that. That's tits, man. That
excites
me.
Alec Guinness?
Yeah, I mean, for purposes of now, Alec Guinness, I like that character
he's
a lot.
He's great.
He kind of literally and figuratively dies for me in the first movie. I don't think about him much during Empire and Return of the Jedi.
Even when he appears as a spirit?
That's cool and all. But let's get some motherfucking Darth Maul up in this shit.
All right, we're not there yet.
I know.
All right, so my whole reasoning behind Luke Skywalker is not only, of course, is he the hero, but like, even when he's tempted by the dark side, there's just something so pure about the guy. Obviously, he wears white. Darth Vader wears black. You know, it's not exactly subtle, to say the least. But I really like Luke Skywalker. I think that that's the kind of hero you need because he's interesting enough to just really carry the action, but he doesn't dominate the screen. And that's,
which is a good thing. Kind of Harry Potter. He doesn't completely dominate.
He almost has sex with his sister, right?
No, I don't know about that.
Oh, I'm sure there's got to be some trivia behind that.
They made out.
They didn't make out. They kissed.
They made out.
No, they didn't.
Okay, so the thing is, when Marty McFly kisses Lorraine, okay, They said, it's like kissing my brother. That didn't happen in Star Wars, and I was kind of concerned by that.
Right. They were like, ooh la la, let's get some more of this.
Okay, now I'm going to make a bold statement. There are no bad scenes in these first three movies, okay? I'm just saying it straight up. So naturally, I'm going to ask Kevin, what is the best scene in these three movies?
Gosh, there's so many to choose from.
Oh, there really are. I understand that, and I wouldn't hold you to say the absolute best, but at least select one that you think is definitely worthy of being a favorite.
I do like the scene where Luke meets the Emperor in Return of the Jedi. I thought that was kind of interesting. That was pretty powerful. It's like, take your father's place at my side. You know, when he's trying to manipulate the situation, you know.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, he's like this old, decrepit man.
You do a good Emperor.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
You know.
Something, something dark.
Side. Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, it's kind of interesting because Emperor Palpatine has kind of sustained throughout the series. I mean, how old was that actor when those movies were made? Like 1983?
Well, he was younger back then. He was like in his 30s. You know, they just put the makeup on.
Unbelievable.
And then when he got to the prequels, he just let him just be his age at that point,
right.
As the younger Palpatine. Mm-hmm. So it kind of worked out perfectly.
Yeah.
Donald, do you have a favorite scene, or do you have a feeling of what the best scene is?
I have a couple, but probably the one that I would say sticks in my head the most is, you know, when Darth reveals that he's Luke's father. I mean, to me, that's a pivotal moment.
Quintessential.
It humanized them.
Movie. Yeah.
It humanized them.
It's crazy that happened. It's crazy that...
And that was a top secret scene that they filmed, too. Only, like, three people knew.
Top secret from George Lucas.
It's top secret from everyone.
No. Oh, George
but
knew.
Really? I thought Lawrence Kasdan kind of snuck
that. No, it was like George, the director, Irvin Kershner, and Mark Hamill. There was a joke about Harrison Ford was like, he was kind of mad at Mark Hamill. How come you didn't tell me about this part? Like they didn't know.
Anyway, Donald, as you were saying.
Yeah, no, it was really cool. It was just a really cool scene. Just a few of the others, of course, the first and last appearance of Max Rebo, the
poor fellow,
wonderful pianist there, the keyboardist,
very talented young
man.
Yeah, very,
the fact that, Han shot first was also very cool. Just some really cool elements in the thing. I think another thing that stuck out in the trilogy was the sand pit thing, the creature.
The Sarlacc?
Yes.
Sarlacc pit?
That was pretty epic.
Yeah, especially the way Boba Fett getting taken out.
Right. That was pretty cool.
That was a cool scene. When they went to rescue Han and like you see Lando, everyone's there. They all like played their little part in the rescue and it worked.
Oh, and speaking of Lando, when he betrayed him, when the door opened and Darth Vader standing there in the fuck off, really.
And he's like, it would be an honor if you would join us.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yep.
Lots of stuff. But yeah, probably the Luke, I'm your father shit was the best.
Thanks for stealing mine. I was going to say the Sarlacc pit. I think that, first of all, Return of the Jedi, the dork side gets wrong. Okay? They're all over it. They have no business to be. There are so many great scenes in Return of the Jedi that I can name just off the top of my head.
Especially when the lightsaber is shot out of R2-D2 and he grabs it and he opens it and you see it's a green one. You know, he's just taking care of business.
Oh, my God. You got... Mm-hmm. You're dissolving Han, who's in Carbonite.
Carbonite,
excuse me. That was fantastic. The whole, like... land speeder fight in the forest.
Oh, that was awesome.
Awesome scene, man.
Awesome scene.
Especially
when like a stormtrooper like loses control and smacks right directly into a
tree.
That
was the third one, right? We're talking?
Return of the Jedi.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely.
And also, too, you get some characters in there that are quite underrated. Like, I don't think George Lucas actually thought
Admiral Ackbar
would be cool.
And by the way, again, in a future pod, I'm going to lose my mind when we talk about that. Start talking about Admiral Ackbar.
Yeah, so I mean, just that kind of, by the way, I have his hat. It was a mesh hat. There was an Admiral Ackbar hat that you could buy at Disney World.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, it was. It's definitely quite awesome. So my whole thing is I always say that one of the things that always upsets me about Star Wars is that these three films are so outstanding, and as an overall feeling. Having episode 1, 2, and 3, the reason that I gave that a long rope is because George Lucas, first of all, delivered 4, 5, and 6, which were awesome. And it was always in his plan to do 1, 2, and 3. So I kind of let more go there than maybe I should, but I did let it go. Mm-hmm. When you get to 7, 8, 9, that's a different story. George Lucas is not involved in that. It's excessive for me.
Yeah.
Now, my whole thing is I'm just this person who believes this is a sacrosanct trilogy. Is there something about this trilogy or that stands out to you so much, Kevin, that you feel that this thing should have maybe stopped early or maybe not continued?
Well, if you think about it, all three lightsaber battles had meaning.
Mm.
They had purpose.
Do tell.
Think about it. The first one in A New Hope, in episode 4, it's basically two old friends going at it. They haven't seen each other in about 20 years. And they're confronting each other, you know, and then, you know, there's a line about, you know, last time you were the master, but now I am, or something like that, some to that effect. And then the surprise of Vader, you know, taking out Obi-Wan, but not really understanding the full plan, you know, when he disappears, when he hits him with the saber, and he's like, you know, wondering what the heck happened. He just disappeared.
Yeah, he wanted Luke to see.
The Empire Strikes Back. Yeah, obviously, you mentioned this before. They're in battle. You know, you're thinking, oh, yeah, there's this big Darth Vader guy, this soulless character, and then you find out that actually they're related, father and son. Mm-hmm. And then from there on out, you start seeing Darth Vader becoming humanized. So when they fought again in Return of the Jedi, you know, you felt sympathy for Vader. You're like, man, could Luke really turn him back to the light? And you saw slowly but surely throughout that movie, Darth Vader slowly just becoming the goodness, Anakin Skywalker returning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we got to be introduced to David Prowse.
Yes, that is true.
Donald, what kind of legacy will these first three movies leave with you?
That's I would say more than anything, just fondness for the memories I've had growing up with my family and stuff, specifically with my mother, who was always more science fiction than my dad. My dad was more like, let's watch wrestling.
Yeah.
My mom was like, let's watch Star Wars or Star Trek, and we'll do 1 week of Star Wars and 1 week of Star Trek, and we'll rotate that and keep going. And there's a fondness there. And I think the fact that Disney has now decided to run with it a little bit, we're going to get a series. That's exciting to me. Mandalorian, thank you. Is exciting to
John
me because it's something I can talk to my mom about again, mm-hmm. you know, about the excitement of it. I couldn't do it with the last Starfighter or last Star, whatever.
The last Starfighter.
It might as well have been. But you know what I mean? Like the Last Jedi.
And a future son. And, you know, you could talk to him about that. What daddy grew up with.
Your future son?
Your
Is there something
son.
You want to
and,
tell me?
No, I'm talking about your future
and,
son.
And I think also, too, like... aside from the fact that these are beyond movies, this is a cultural phenomenon.
Absolutely,
this is a completely different like.
It's like modern. It's like modern day fairy tales.
Mm-hmm. And we have to remember too, you know, we see movies, we love movies, but we critique them a lot. And the reason we critique them a lot is because when Star Wars was out, there was not only nothing like it, but this whole idea of we have to make three movies was not a thing just yet.
Nope. Well, let's throw some love to Kenner, by the way, that took the chance that
no one else did.
No other toy company.
Even Marvel Comics with the comic book.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, George Lucas is like, hey, man, you keep that box office receipts. I will take the merchandising rights.
Smartest thing the man ever did.
And I'll tell you what, also, too, we've mentioned this before, Don. I remember you were talking about a Bumblebee Transformer toy specifically that was just so difficult to maneuver. These toys were of such a high quality, these action figures. They have sustained in my basement for 42 years, guys.
Wow. For 40 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my father, you know, he bought these in 4 different states. You know, it was mm-hmm. a mission to him. I'm going to call up the state of Indiana and I'm going to see if they have
such a thing.
Specifically Darth Vader's TIE Fighter. You know, just anything to make sure our collection became more. So there's great memories, obviously, there. And it really takes me back to a time where there was, in my view, a lot more love put into the movies. Namely, my contention is shooting on film.
It's like good food. You see the passion in the kitchen. You see the passion in the filmmaking.
Exactly. And also, too, like, it's hard to pick them apart. They're just so enjoyable. And they're technically sound in a lot of ways, in my opinion.
They are.
And
they
still, in many ways, really hold up.
Absolutely.
So that's going to do it for part one. If you guys have any final thoughts, please shout them out. But part one of Star Wars. And just want to warn the audience, it's going to get progressively more contentious, I suspect.
I think you're correct.
I sense the dark side.
I don't think it's because we've gotten older and when we were younger, you know, there's a lot of sentimentality. I don't think that's true. I think it's gotten progressively worse as we've gotten older, and I think we're going to learn that as we go further into these pods. So with that, I'll just leave it at that. Kevin, you got anything?
That's it. All I can say is this trilogy will always have a special place in my heart, as well as many of you out there in podcast land.
All right. Aww. With that being said, I'm Darren.
I'm Donald.
And I'm Kevin.
All right. Next time, we are going to talk about episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Prequel trilogy.
Speaking of which, 1, 2, and 3, we want to talk about real quick before we go, just a little comic shop that might sell some Star Wars comic books.
Oh, yes.
We're talking about Spearow's Heroes.
The godfather of comics.
The godfather of comics. I'm telling you guys right now, if you want Star Wars comics, they've got them, and they've got them in their dollar box. I've seen them. I was just there. Highly recommend you go over. I just picked up Vader figured down parts 2, 4, and 6, $1 each. I shit you not. So please make sure to check out Spiro's Heroes in Canoga Park. That's spirosheroes.com. Please look up Elliot, Google him. He is the godfather of comics, the best deals you'll find around. So please check out Spiro's Heroes. And with that, if we don't see you there, maybe we'll see you
at the comic shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.